Well, we want to welcome you back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And with me in the studio is a couple that have some unique experiences. They are serving as missionaries in Asia. And Brian and Victoria, welcome. We're tickled to have you here and just give you the opportunity to maybe share your heart with us and help us to understand how the Lord began to work in your hearts and lives, maybe when you were kids or teenagers. So is it ladies first, Brian?
No, I'll start first, okay. And then I'll let Victoria follow.
All right.
I really didn't have any leading of the Lord as a child. I was raised in a Presbyterian home, but not even a true Presbyterian home. My parents weren't saved, but we went to church every Sunday. And by the time we finished going to church, we would go out to a restaurant and we'd come home, and that was the end of anything spiritual for the whole week.
I, like Brian, did not grow up in a true Christian home. Okay. I didn't have a church experience and longed for something spiritual, something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like most of the relationships in my life within my family and with friendships were very shallow. And so the longing in my heart was for something deeper.
And what state of the union were you guys living?
Well, I grew up in Cleveland.
I spent most of my school years growing up in Toronto, Canada.
So how'd you guys meet?
After I graduated from college, I went to Los Angeles and became an English teacher.
Now that's the opposite direction of Canada.
That's right. I didn't know I was looking for her yet.
You were lost, weren't you?
Yes.
See, most men are lost and too stubborn to ask for directions, you know? So Victoria, bless your heart, you had to go find him, I guess, huh?
Actually, after I graduated from high school, I didn't have a very stable home life. I was excited to leave home.
Sure.
So I moved to California to start my own life, and that's where I met Brian. And the way we met is actually quite comical because he asked for directions.
Oh, there you go. Hey, I knew that there was something connected with asking for directions. And Brian is sitting here saying, no, no. Well, too bad, Brian. So he actually asked for directions?
He did.
That's encouraging. But he had to find somebody pretty first to ask, right?
Yeah, I was just looking for someone who looked like they had a mastery on the McNally-Randall map.
Rand McNally.
That's it.
We're in trouble already.
Yeah, that's right.
And she looked like she knew where she was going, right?
Yes.
And actually, my sense of direction's terrible. He's the one who gets us to the right place.
I think he was just looking for something to talk to you about, if I'm not incorrect. That's probably closer to the truth than anything. So you are teaching, and you're going to California just to kind of find a new life.
Right, and I do have relatives there.
Okay, okay.
I had an aunt that I lived with, and I went to college in California.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Met Brian halfway through college, and he was on a search for some meaning in his life, and about the same time that he found the Lord, I was listening to Christian radio as I did the commute in California.
Sure.
And it was John MacArthur that I was listening to, and one day I prayed at the end of the sermon and just realized that I was a sinner and in great need of a Savior, and asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and change me.
That's fantastic. That, you know, that's encouraging to me because it was a radio ministry that God used to reach you for the Lord. And here we are talking on the radio, having no clue who's listening to us and no clue what God's going to do through these broadcasts, but knowing that his word never returns unto him void, but accomplishes the purposes that he had in mind. So you came to Christ. Brian was still an unbeliever.
No, actually, we don't know who came to Christ first.
Okay.
It happened in April 1991, and I was just thinking of this as Victoria was speaking about the irony of this radio broadcast, and what happened with me is I started to have panic attacks as I was driving to school to teach English at high school. I had inner-city kids, and after I started having panic attacks and anxiety, I started looking for some kind of relief, and I looked in a number of different places.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, it was my habit to listen to pretty loud music on the radio when I'd go into school, get myself all pumped up. And I remembered someone told me, if I want something to change my life, want something different to happen, well, then do something different.
Mm.
So I was turning through the radio dial, and I heard Chuck Swindoll.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never listened to him before, and he said something like, you know you're a sinner, and you've got to be saved. And I said, now that is as far different as I could possibly get from the type of thing I've
sure,
been listening to.
Sure.
So I was desperate. I left the dial on Chuck Swindoll. And day after day, what he was saying, it started to make sense. You know, his program is Insight for Living.
Sure.
And God fed me through that program, gave me just what I needed for each day,
mm-hmm.
nothing more
mm-hmm.
and nothing less, just enough to face my students and to get back home. And as I listened to his program, it was very pivotal in my walk or my meeting Christ. And so one day when I went home from teaching, I was full of anxiety again, and I laid down on my bed flat, and I was trying to just think peaceful thoughts and trying to meditate on a green pasture. And this had helped me before, but not on this day.
Okay.
This day the Lord was calling me. And so I said, well, I'm going to meditate on, hey, Chuck Swindoll talked about meditating on Christ. So I did that day. I meditated on everything I had known from going to church as a child, everything I had heard on the radio, little bits and pieces that I had read in the Bible.
Right.
And I put together Christ before me. And that was when I feel like I met him and I did business with him and I completely surrendered my life to him in April 1991.
Again, through a radio ministry.
And I told Chuck. I wrote.
Oh, did you?
I
okay.
wrote to him, yes.
Okay. Well, I know that was a blessing to him. All right, now you're teaching, and you were what year in college?
I was probably a sophomore.
A sophomore in college. Okay. Had you met at the point?
It was Brian who had suggested to me that I listen to the Christian radio station.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Part of our relationship, early part of our relationship, is we were searching for intimacy.
Right.
And we learned that there was a spiritual intimacy.
Right,
and
right.
So, as we ask each other, what do you believe in? And we both came up with the answer that we believe in God and we believe in Jesus, his son.
Okay.
But we believed in him in more of an intellectual way.
Sure.
But nevertheless, we agreed on that point, and then we wanted to pursue a spiritual intimacy
mm-hmm.
and growth in that area
mm-hmm.
as well as other areas.
It's neat that you're talking about that because my wife and I have about 45 college students coming to our house every Wednesday night, and we are discussing what needs to be talked about before the engagement ring.
Mm.
And it is really opening up a lot of people's minds and understanding, and we're having some really neat discussions, you know, because so many times they have no clue, you know, what they need to talk about before the engagement ring. So it sounds like the Lord was working in your lives to draw you to himself while you were being drawn to each other.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one teacher friend that Brian had who was spiritual, is what Brian called him. And he would answer any kind of spiritual question that Brian had. And he and his wife were actually a couple that attended our wedding. We sort of eloped because when we decided that we knew we were right for each other after we had both surrendered our lives to the Lord, we realized that we had a future together.
Right.
And God was going to be the center. And we said, well, we need to get married. And it was just maybe 2 weeks later, we decided that we weren't going to wait and plan this big, long, drawn-out
sure.
engagement.
Right.
We just got married. And so the couple I met at my wedding had been missionaries in Indonesia, and they were back on furlough. And so they immediately were excited about us getting married and wanted to disciple us through the Navigators 2-7 series.
Right.
But they fed us right from the start on the Great Commission.
Okay.
So for me, in my mind and heart, it was, wow, serving God is, I'm going to get overseas one day.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When that happens, that's the ultimate service to the Lord.
Exactly. So it was something that you prayed that the Lord would send you. You were maybe willing to stay at home, but you were really praying that God might be able to send you wherever he wanted you.
Definitely. But we had no idea where that would be or when.
Right. Did you go ahead and graduate from college?
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Graduated, got pregnant, had mm-hmm. our son in California, then moved to Colorado. And
okay.
that's where we began attending Tri-City Baptist Church in Westminster and met Pastor Ken Keltner and went on our very first overseas missions trip to Sri Lanka with the Keltners
okay.
and a few other people.
And, of course, Pastor Keltner is our senior pastor here yeah. at Brookside. And so that's your connection. Goes back to Colorado.
Right.
Okay. And as you go on a missions trip together, it's really exciting to serve the Lord together, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm sure Ken knew something that we didn't know. We were excited to go on a missions trip, to go outside of America, thinking that maybe this is the place that we'll end up in Sri Lanka. And we were prepared to go and minister to the people there, the Tamil people and the Sinhalese people, and prepared messages. And as we went over there, it became apparent that we were going to be receiving more and learning more than we were
mm-hmm.
going to be teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd encourage everybody, if you haven't gone on a missions trip, if you haven't traveled outside the United States and gone on a missions trip, it will change your life. It was amazing to see.
Right.
These people who had less than us and struggled more than us, and yet it seemed like they loved the Lord so much more than us and respected each other. It was really moving to see that, life-changing for us.
I've often thought that when you come back from a missions trip like that, there are two things you need to share: what God is doing there and what God is doing here in my heart.
Yes.
And technically, that's what we all need to be focusing on. What is God doing there? Because when we come back, our churches need to hear what God is doing to challenge them, like, hey, I could become a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what God is doing here in my own heart as we become tender to the Lord's call. I know my youngest son and his family are missionaries in São Paulo, Brazil. And when he went to the field, he was 23 years old as he left the States to go to Brazil. And the mission board said that he and his wife were the youngest missionaries they had ever sent out. But they were ready. And David said that he had visited 11 different mission fields by the time he was 23. 11 various mission fields. And visiting the field will just open your eyes to what God is doing and how the Lord can work in your life. Well, we have run out of time. So we will pick this up, and we trust that as we get back together again the next time, just be able to hear how the Lord took one mission trip and began to put together a life mission. And for you folks that are listening to us as we talk this morning, that's exactly what the Lord loves to do. He loves to impact your life mission. And the people that you meet and the opportunities that you have will form your life mission. And so we trust that you'll be open to whatever the Lord may have in mind for you and be ready to say, Lord, I'm willing to stay, but I'm sure ready to go. Until the next time, we trust the Lord will bless you in a fantastic way.